This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are asking you, how does packaging affect your purchasing decisions on Enterprise BizBytes today? My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with...
Real You.
Arvind Yabraj.
And Tien Soon got us on WhatsApp, said, at the airport duty-free, I often see travellers who buy a certain type of a bottle just for how good the packaging is and how the bottle looks so visually stunning. And they actually put it on display at their homes or office as just a display bottle kind of thing. So, yeah, specific kind of drinks that we're talking about here.
Yeah,
now it hits you. You go like, oh,
makes sense.
Drinks? Yeah. Specific type of drinks that we can't mention.
Drinking water.
Yeah.
I will consume it.
I actually do that too. You know, I go to the airport and I will buy these kind of limited edition kind of bottles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would save it for a special occasion, which hasn't arrived yet. But, when the day arrives, I'm sure I've got 150 bottles that I can open.
You're prepared.
Yeah, I'm prepared.
Just in case.
Benji says, for supermarket products, I'm more aware of the plastic type, the number of triangles, and also how easy it is to remove labeling, or better, just no labeling at all. Starting precious plastic programs to recycle plastics into pallets, which can be repurposed into new stuff. But I do like pretty packaging for stuff that I keep and don't often buy. Example, the limited edition Gundam. So yeah, I know a lot of people still keep them in boxes.
Yeah, my issue is jewelry boxes, because they're very nice. I mean, when you buy jewelry, it's like, but I want to, it's no point in me keeping it because I'm keeping it somewhere else, right? It's just, that's my...
But it's like the utility also. You can use it for something else, no?
I've got a lot of this can use for something else. Boxes.
But yeah, packaging is also reusable, right? Arvind, what do we have on Instagram?
Yeah, so this comes from Cindy, who says, guilty and gullible. My husband always says that you eat the content, not the box. Which is true.
That is true. That is true. Anyways, moving on to our final story, Frida.
Yes, this is out from the UK. So this is Flatfare, the deposit-free renting platform, raises $11 million led by Index Ventures. So this is it's a fintech app that lets landlords offer deposit-free renting to tenants. And the Series A round is led by Index Ventures, with participation from a few other names, I'll just Revolt Ventures, Adevinta, and all that. So with a new capital, Flatfare says it plans to hire a significant number of product engineers, data scientists, and business development specialists. So that's where the jobs of the future are. The startup also invests in building out new features that looks to expand its platform with a focus on making renting fairer and more transparent for landlords and tenants. So this is a situation, UK, I think, similar to
Very
Malaysia.
Very similar to Malaysia.
So he says here, with the average deposit of £1,110 across England and Wales being just shy of the national living wage, tenants struggle to pay expensive deposits even when moving into a new home, often paying double deposits in between tenancies. It's that space, it's that time, right? Flatfare co-founder and CEO Franz Doer tells, when asked to frame the problem the startup has set to solve. So this creates cash flow issues for tenants, and particularly for those with families. Some tenants end up financing the deposit through friends and family, or even accrue expensive credit card debt. So the latter can have a negative impact on the tenant's credit rating. What's ours called?
CDOS,
right?
CDOS and CCRIS.
So, further restricting important access to credit for things that really matter in a tenant's life. So what they're doing here is Flatfare's insurance-backed payment technology provides tenants with the option to pay a per-tenancy membership fee instead of full deposit. They do this by authorizing the bank account via debit card with Flatfare. And when it's time to move out, any end of tenancy charges are handed via the Flatfare portal, including dispute resolution. So how it works, rather than having to find a rental deposit equivalent for a month's rent, which in theory you get back once you move out, sign any end of tenancy charges, with Flatfare, you pay about a quarter of that as a non-refundable fee. And there are pros and cons of both, but for tenants that are cash flow restricted, the startup's model at least offers an alternative financing option.
But I guess, this is, it's around the world, even in Malaysia, right? Mm. Deposits for houses can be, way too much that, how do you get that in a month's salary, right? Because it could be 2 months deposit and then 1 month rental, and then you've got your security deposit for your utilities,
maintenance
and
fee and stuff.
Add in all of those, it could be you're looking at maybe 6 months of your salary combined all of these. And how are you supposed to suddenly fork out 6 months of your salary just for that one-time, one-month payment? Of course, you get the money back, but the issue is to put out that initial capital, yeah, right? Yeah. So it can be taxing. And even here in Malaysia, there is a company that's also doing something similar with the flat fare in the UK, right?
Speed Home. So they used to be known as Speed Rent, and then now they're Speed Home. So they do the same thing. We had an interview with them a couple of months ago. And it's like that because it puts the responsibility and the power back into the hands of the owner and the landlord. It gives them the opportunity to, you know, filter through their tenants, who you want to stay in your house. And I think they also have like insurance and stuff. So it's kind of, I think the market is sort of opening up for players like this to give landlords the opportunity, especially tech-savvy landlords, the opportunity to use apps and use like online platforms to find their own tenants. For a while, I think the agents were sort of like upset and, you know, they didn't like the disruption. Yeah. But it looks like more and more people are opening up to this kind of concept.
Yeah, and the idea is that, you know, for example, for the tenant as well, right, that 2 months deposit, I think they're now sort of able to understand that it's the first month's rent and the last month's rent, right? So because otherwise it's like you actually inevitably paying 3 months rent, 2 months deposit, and then the rent for the month, right? That's a lot of money. And I can understand why, as the landlord, I've been in both situations with landlords, like, I don't know whether I can trust you, right? Yeah. So when you have that, you know, when your credit check and it's all sorted and tied up by the bank, I know I can find you, right? So this solves that problem. And at the same time, you're not losing so much and I'm still getting some money. I know that the first month, the last month is sorted out.
Yeah, I'm an owner of an apartment that I rented out. My first tenant was absolutely amazing. And after about 2 years, he decided to move to a bigger place because he had another kid. So he has to move to a bigger place and I can't do anything about it. But what I really wanted to do was to like give him a 5-star rating simply because he paid everything on time. And when I took the keys back from him and I entered the place, it was like it was brand new, you know, and he stayed there with his two kids for 2 years. And then now he's got the third kid. And I was like, you know, how can I tell the future owner, landlord that like, hey, this tenant was really good. Like, I wish there was a way. And like, you know, if you know, he has difficulty in paying up for the first initial capital in terms of the deposit and
don't
give him chance because he was really good. He really took care of the place. Not once he called me for, you know, any issues in terms of, you know, aircon not working or light bulb not working, plug, you know, clogged plumbs and stuff like that, right? But he was so good that I was thinking, is there a way that I can, like, you know, give him a 5-star rating wherever he goes, people know he is a 5-star tenant.
Like a testimony or stuff.
Because it's hard to trust agents themselves. So my new tenant now was through an agent and, you know, it's not working out really well. So, you know, you have that difficulties in really trusting. Can I really trust this person's recommendation as well, right? If you have, you know, technology like these, the one that Speed Home is also doing, and I'm sure many other kind of, you know, prop tech companies are also looking into it. I'm sure, you know, if there is a way that you can actually show, you know, like your CTOS ratings and, you know, give me ratings from previous landlords, that will give me the trust and I'm willing to compromise. Maybe not 2 months deposit, maybe just a month. Maybe if you're really good, no deposit at all.
Especially,
you know,
if you're insured.
So yeah, they tie up with, and I think, if I'm insured,
even
I really
more.
Don't mind.
Yeah.
Because it's the, you pay so much for your, you know, apartment or your house or your property itself, right? The last thing you want is to receive the keys back and then have to invest more than the deposit that you were actually, you know, received earlier because the damage was, you know, it's quite a big damage, right? Anyways, we were talking about how does packaging affect your purchasing decisions. And it's interesting that, you know, a lot of people actually have said that, yeah, you know, there is that they have swayed their decision, you know, maybe going to the supermarket to buy product A, but then coming out with product B simply because it looked really nice. And also, you know, we had one that said he used to sell products and used to just cheaply package them because the product was good, but the customer ratings were poor. And now changing his packaging to something more, I guess, you know, visually, aesthetically pleasing, the customer
he
ratings
caught their eye.
Caught the eye. Customer ratings went up. So it doesn't just affect offline.
Yeah.
It affects online as well, right? When you buy a product online and when you receive it, that packaging is that, you know, impression that you get, right? So thank you all for the feedback. Remember, tomorrow we will have another round of where you can get in touch with us in WhatsApp, Twitter, Instagram. That was our first story on how packaging influences your buying behavior.
And then we spoke about how Tristan Harris, he's an former Google employee who's also a design ethicist. He spoke about reversing human downgrading in a tech-driven world.
Right. And the final story, Flatfare, the deposit-free renting platform, which raised $11 million. in funding.
All right. And coming up next is the Breakfast Grill replay. Alexander Fernandez, the CEO of Streamline Media Group. They have worked on games such as Final Fantasy, you know, one of the series, Street Fighter V, Bioshock Infinite. They've also set up operations in Kuala Lumpur since 2010. So the Breakfast Grill team speaks to him about the changing landscape of the game development, the media and entertainment scene with CEO and founder of Streamline, Alexander Fernandez. That's coming up next on the Breakfast Grill replay at 1 p.m. If you miss any parts of our stories today, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website and also on the BFM app. We're also on Spotify in case you don't want to have too many apps on your phone. You can just search for Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Arvind Yuvaraj and Frida Liu. Have a lovely Thursday, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.